Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to preach today from 3 John, the third epistle of the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle John to write. It's another short epistle, just like 2 John, one chapter. And it follows first in the enumeration, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And the title of the message is Following That Which Is Good. Following That Which Is Good. Now, I took the title from verse 11 of 3 John. Let's just read that verse, and then we'll go back and go through the chapter. John, inspired by the Spirit, encouraging true believers to do this. He says, Beloved, now that identifies, he's talking to the brethren, he's talking to believers, the church, true Christians, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And then he says, He that doeth good is of God. You know, there's no doing good without God. We need to understand that. And he says, But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Whenever I talk about goodness and holiness and righteousness, I want people to understand now, these things are of God. These things are not in man by nature. And because man by nature, as we are naturally born, we are born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We are totally depraved, and we are incapable of doing good. Now listen to me. Don't miss this. We are incapable of doing good as God measures goodness. Now, we can do good as man on this earth measures goodness. But that's not how God measures goodness. And what we see, if we understand how God measures goodness, we will come to understand, and if he brings us to believe that, we'll come to understand why salvation cannot be by our works, but it's by grace. And there's an incident in the life of the Lord in his earthly walk when a young man came to him. I think this is recorded in Matthew chapter 19. And we call him the rich young man. Some people call him the rich young ruler. He was a religious person. And he asked Christ this. He said, Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit or to earn eternal life? And when the man approached Christ, it was obvious that he did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was or is the Messiah, the Savior, God manifest in the flesh. So he said, Good master, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord answered him on his own ground, and he said, Look, why are you calling me good? Because there's none good, only God is good. Now, why would the Lord answer that way? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is definitely good. He's the embodiment of goodness. Everything he did was good. But he asked that man, he said, Well, why are you calling me good? You see, there's none good but God, he said. And what the Lord is doing there, he's showing the man, if you don't believe that I'm the Messiah, if you don't believe that I'm God manifest in the flesh, why are you calling me good? But then the Lord hit him right in the ideas here, hit him right where they lie. And he said, Well, if you want to earn or gain eternal life, keep the commandments. And the man thought, well, he said, well, which commandment should I keep? And the Lord read him the second table of the Mosaic Law, which is man's relationship to man. And the man answered the Lord and said, well, I've kept those from my youth up. So the Lord put him to the test. Well, let's see. He says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the man went away sorrowful. The Bible says, for he had much goods. He had much riches. Well, what is the point of that whole thing? What the Lord was trying to show this man is this. You cannot inherit or gain or earn eternal life by keeping the law. And the reason is because your law keeping isn't good enough to earn salvation. You see, salvation can only come on the basis of the perfection of righteousness required by the law, but found only in the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. Compared to Christ, do we have any goodness? And the answer is no. And what goodness we have in human terms is not good enough to earn or gain salvation. That's why by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you understand that? So when we speak of doing good, believers doing good, we have to understand that that goodness is not of themselves, but it's of God. It's the work of God in us, we might say. So doing that which is good. But now, in 3 John, John is speaking of a particular issue that has to do with the receiving of brethren in the Lord. So let's go back to verse 1. We'll read through this. It won't take too long. He says, in verse 1, he says, the elder, that's himself, John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now this person, Gaius, we don't know exactly who he is. That name is used elsewhere. But he was a man in a particular church, a local body of believers, whom John knew. And he's writing to this. Maybe this man was a pastor. Maybe he was a deacon. I don't know. Maybe he was an elder. But John's writing to the beloved Gaius, whom he loved in the truth. And we've talked so much about that. I went through 1 John and went through 2 John. Love and truth. The fellowship of truth and love and the fellowship of truth. All fellowship. The unity of brethren is based upon the truth. The doctrine of Christ. You remember last week I preached on this in verse 9 of 2 John. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. There's the ground of fellowship. So if a person comes to you claiming to be a Christian, claiming to be a brother or a sister in Christ, and they don't believe the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of His glorious person, the doctrine of His finished work, they're not a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And so he speaks to Gaius. He writes to Gaius as a true brother in Christ. And in verse 2 of 3 John, he says, beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, a lot of false preachers today take verses like this out of context and preach what we call the health and wealth gospel. And they indicate in some form or fashion or degree that if you're a true believer and you're doing what's right, then you're going to be healthy, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to receive, as one false preacher said, the best life now. And that's not what John's saying here. He does pray for their health. He prays for their prospering. And he says, I pray that you prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospereth. Well, how does the soul prosper? That's talking about eternal life. You see, we who are in Christ are perfectly well, perfectly healthy, spiritually speaking, in Him. We have His blood to wash us clean from the disease of sin. That's a judicial matter. Sins cannot be charged to us. We're still sinners. In some ways, we're still sin sick, you could say, because we have a warfare within, the remaining contamination of the flesh. Paul spoke of that in Romans chapter 7. But our souls are secure in Christ. And we're perfectly healthy in Christ. We have His righteousness imputed to us. And our sins cannot be charged to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And then in Christ, we have an inheritance, the riches of His glory and grace that we cannot even begin to count. So our souls are healthy and we prosper in Christ by the grace of God. We are complete in Him. That's what the Scripture says. And then John writes, he said, well, I pray that you prosper and be in health, just like that. There's nothing wrong with us praying for our brethren to be healthy. When somebody gets a terminal illness, we pray, Lord, please spare this person, heal this person, if it be your will. And that's really the codicil of all prayer. Lord, thy will be done. And if they're truly a brother or sister in Christ, their death will be a passage into life everlasting. And so, but we pray for them. We pray that they'll prosper. If one of my brothers or sisters starts a new business, I pray that it's successful. Pray for their wealth. But I'm not going to tell them that if they will do right and be sincere or whatever, if they do this, that, or the other, then they will be healthy and they will be wealthy. I'm not going to do that because that's a lie. That is a lie. And I've had people argue with me over that. But that's, listen, the health, and you know, they'll go back to, false preachers will go back to Isaiah 53 where it talks about by His stripes we are healed. And they'll apply that to physical health, physical healing. And that's a lie. That's talking about spiritual healing. By His stripes, by His death, we're healed from the condemnation and the domination of sin in the sense that we look to Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. We plead His blood and His righteousness. So understand that. Well, look at verse 3. 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now there's the issue. Verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Why does John call them his children? Not because he's trying to set himself up as the Father, as if he is God the Father. There's only one Father, and that's God. There's only one high King and Lord, and that's God. But John was their father in the sense that he was the one who first preached the gospel to them. Like Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. And so he's just saying, I have a special relationship, and I rejoice when my children walk in truth. You know, you could say, well, I rejoice when I see my children or my brethren being charitable, giving money to the poor, helping the sick, all that. But the issue here is the truth. Because if they're not walking in the truth, all of that other, though it may help man in this life, is not for any eternal good or any spiritual good. You know, there have been atheists who have been very generous with money given to the poor. philanthropist. And that's a good thing on as we measure goodness here, but it's of no eternal consequence to them as far as eternal life. Because, my friend, there's only life in Christ, who is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at verse 5. He says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now, the reason he makes a distinction between brethren and strangers is this. He's talking about brethren in the Lord whom they knew, who were members of that local body, and strangers who are true brethren in Christ, but who they didn't know, they hadn't met yet. And he says in verse 6, these strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, these are men and women who came to them, and they brought with them the doctrine of Christ. Remember back up in 2 John, he says in verse 10 of 2 John, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. But if any come to you bringing this doctrine, that's who he's talking about in 3 John. They do bring the doctrine. They abide in the doctrine of Christ. They believe the gospel. Their salvation and their justification is based upon the same ground as ours, the imputed righteousness of Christ by the grace of God. They understand that the glorious person in the finished work of Christ, who he is and what he did, why he did it, where he is now. And he says, they've borne witness of your charity, your hospitality towards them, your fellowship with them. And it says in verse 6, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort or worthy of God, thou shalt do well. Now, this is what he's talking about when he talks about follow that which is good. In other words, here comes these people from John, preachers, evangelists, missionaries. And they come to you seeking fellowship and seeking support. Well, what are you going to do? How do you know whether or not to support them, to have fellowship? What do they believe? What is their doctrine? Oh, I tell you, I get emails from people overseas in foreign countries. They'll read our website and they'll tell me they believe the same thing we do. And I begin to ask them questions. And they normally don't like that. They don't like to be questioned. Well, my friend, the Word of God commands us to test the spirits, to question them. And it didn't take very long, but I found out that they really do not believe what we believe as true believers. And I cannot support them. But once in a while, by the grace of God, and it's a miracle of God's grace, I run into somebody who really does believe this gospel. And I receive them as brethren, and I'll help them if I can, whether it's financially or prayerfully, whatever. And so, that's doing well. Now, that doesn't mean that my well-doing is perfect, because it's not. It doesn't mean that my well-doing or my doing good there is my righteousness before God. It's not. The only perfection that I can lay claim to is the perfection of righteousness that I find in Christ and Him alone. He is my righteousness. My works, my doing good, my doing well is not my righteousness. It does not earn anything with God. It simply testifies of God's goodness and power and grace in my life. And so in verse 7 it says, these strangers, you know, they come to you and you bring them forward on their journey after a godly sort, worthy of God. In other words, you're not supporting a false gospel. You're not supporting false brethren. But you're supporting the glory of God, which these are preaching or supporting or promoting. And he says in verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Now, you got to understand, when he speaks of Gentiles here, the gospel is really beginning to go out into the Gentile world And these Gentiles were unbelievers. Now, there are believing Gentiles at this time. But what Paul is saying, or what John is saying here, is that they came to brethren seeking support, and because they didn't seek support from unbelievers. That's what he's saying. They weren't depending on unbelievers, ungodly people. And then verse 8, he says, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." In promoting and supporting these true preachers and missionaries and evangelists and brethren, we're fellow helpers to the truth. We're promoting the gospel of God's grace, and that's what we want to do. And that's the opposite of what John wrote in 2 John verse 11. When an unbeliever comes, claiming to be Christian now, deceptive, antichrist, he says, if you bid him Godspeed, you're a partaker of his evil deeds. But when someone comes to you bringing the doctrine of Christ, preaching grace, sovereign grace, God's free and sovereign grace, in and by the person and work of Christ, His righteousness alone, His blood, His death, burial, and resurrection, which is the satisfaction to God's justice, the establishment of righteousness by which God justifies a sinner, and wherein we have received by God-given faith. When a person comes along preaching that and we support them, then we're fellow helpers in the truth. Isn't that a blessing? It's a blessing to help those who are brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll tell you what, they're getting scarcer and scarcer. There's much false religion, much deception, much of Antichrist already present in this world. John said it was even present in his day, that spirit of Antichrist, which has to do with people who claim to be Christian, claim to believe in Christ, but they deny the truth. The truth of His person or the truth of His finished work. And we got to be on our guard. Now, he turns to a problem in this group. And it's a problem of a man named Diotrephes. Look at verse 9. He said, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Now, you understand, here's a man in the church who wanted to have the preeminence. And that is so common. People in religious organizations, they want to be everything, that they want to call all the shots. They want to be looked up to. They want to be the big I and everybody else the little you. And this Diotrephes was like that. And as Gaius and the believers would receive these brethren, Diotrephes would not receive them. He rejected them. And so John says in verse 10, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." In other words, he criticizes and tells lies. "And not content therewith," he writes, "neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." This is how bad it got. I don't know who this Diotrephes was, but he must have held a lot of sway over the people, because he says he wouldn't receive the brethren, and then he rejected anybody who would receive them, and even cast them out of the church. Now, listen, when we think of the church, we can think of the church universal, which is all believers everywhere in all generations. Not just one denomination, but all true believers who abide in the doctrine of Christ. But in the local church, and I think this is what this is saying here, that Diotrephes was casting them out of that local body of believers. And so in verse 11, John writes, 3 John 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil." Don't follow Diotrephes. Don't do what he's doing. Don't reject the brethren. Don't prate against them, babble against them. Don't tell lies and criticize. But you follow that which is good. Follow what Gaius is doing. Follow those who receive the brethren. Support the brethren. He that doeth good is of God. Diotrephes is not of God. Diotrephes is of himself. He's a false believer. He claims to believe the gospel. He claims to love Christ and the brethren. But he's not. Don't follow him. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Diotrephes had not seen God. And it was all because of his ego. He wanted to have the preeminence. And then John concludes this third letter. He says, he mentions a man named Demetrius in verse 12, hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Here's another brother named Demetrius. That's a Greek name. So is Gaius, for that matter. And he says, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. And then he says in verse 13, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. Verse 14, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So he concludes this with a positive note. But John, in being the elder, the apostle, he speaks the truth because he's speaking the word of God, but he doesn't hold back on these problems. The apostle Paul was like that. You can read the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the book of Galatians. Whenever there was a problem, and there are some problems that are more serious than others, he addressed them. But this issue is simply this: follow that which is good. Don't let your own egos get in the way. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. Christ is the heart and the power and the righteousness and the goodness of the church. We preach Christ. And it's just like John the Baptist said, let's preach Christ and get out of the way. That's basically what he said. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Do that which is good. All right. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.